so good. With every prayer that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive, O God, our worship. Receive our testimony. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercies. All these years, by your grace, by your mercies, your goodness has been revealed in my life, in the lives of your saints, your sons, your daughters, everywhere. Oh, Father, we give you praise that you are the keeper of our souls, the God who sustains, the God who establishes, the God who elevates, the God who promotes, the God who makes a way where there is no way. Oh, how we adore you. Thank you, Lord. We sing of your goodness. We worship you. Be magnified, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we declare it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for every one of you, and thank you for singing that song. I think I... Have we sung that song here before? Yeah, did we sing it here before? So you just learned it today? Wow. I heard that song for the first time today, and I just sent it over to her, and I'm hearing it in a few hours later, and she did it exactly the way it was done. It's, yeah, God is so good. God is so good. God, you're so good. Lord, you're so good. You're so good to me. My God, you are so good. Dear Lord, you are so good. Jesus, my Lord, you are so good. You are so good to me. I just want to sing of the goodness of the Lord. But anyhow, the faithfulness of God is manifested in all of our lives as we seek Him and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. He deserves all our praise. He deserves all our worship. He deserves our adoration. For the God who has loved us with an everlasting love. We're studying through the book of Matthew, and we've come to the 24th chapter of this book. And in this chapter, the Lord begins to address some eschatological issues because his disciples asked him a question. And today we want to begin to explore some of what he had to say. I want to, this evening, read some of the passages from the Passion Bible. The Passion Bible is an excellent translation, and I really truly appreciate this translation because it stays very true to the Word, and it addresses the language as it should. You know, some of these other translations that pretend to be translations, I don't know who buys them and why any preacher should be reading them from the pulpit, because they are just a bunch of junkish stuff. But this, I've not come across any passage that in this translation that I questioned. Maybe I will someday. That's my disclaimer. My King James I like the most. Anyway, it says here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, I'm going to read from the Passion. It says, as Jesus was leaving the temple courts, his disciples came to him and pointed out the beautiful aspects of the architecture of the temple structures. Jesus turned to them and said, take a good look at all these things, for I'm telling you, there will not be one stone left upon another. It will all be leveled. Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that it shall not be thrown down. Now, that's a remarkable statement to make if you know, or if you've been in Israel and you see the stones that were used for the temple. And for him to say there's not going to be one stone laying on top of the other, that takes a lot of doing. But it happened just like he said. Some 40 years later, not one stone was left upon the other. It looked solid. It looked like it cannot be dismantled. And his disciples were very proud of it. It's the temple. Look how amazing it is. Well, of course, they've been there so many times. Jesus has been there, our Lord has been there many times before. So why is it that they are all of a sudden trying to show him what they know he knows? The issue is timing. You know, there are times that certain things come to your mind and you start talking about it. You start discussing it. It's not like it wasn't something that was there all this while. It's always been there. You knew about it. But at this particular time, you just feel like you should be talking about it. And some of those times are times of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Have you wondered why you know that Joe knows about what you're going to be talking about, and you start telling them stories that they should know about, and you guys spend so much time talking about it, going back and forth? That's exactly what's happening here. It's like you and I coming into this beautiful sanctuary, and all of a sudden you start saying, oh, Pastor, look at those designs. Wow, isn't that amazing? How much time was spent in making those designs up there? Look at that.
That's amazing. Look at that. Oh, wow. Look at that ceiling. It's like the sky. Oh, that's exactly what they were doing. They've been at this temple many times before. But this time, they're showing it to the Lord. Because all scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired of God. And God is working out every single detail to tell us a story, to tell us something. And he needed somebody to prompt him to start talking about it. He talked about his death many times. But he's not talked about the end of the age or about his return just as much. He's talked about the fact that he was going to be sacrificed. So he says to them, don't get all teary-eyed and everything about this. It's all coming down. Not one stone is going to be left on the other. Titus, the Emperor Titus, or Prince, rather, destroyed that temple. And was gone. The Bible says and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, so they left the temple area. The Mount of Olives is not far. This is just across. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? You're talking about the stones not resting on each other. The only way that is going to happen is that something made it happen. Is there going to be an earthquake? What? Those are huge stones, Lord. What are you talking about? Not one stone is going to be resting on the other. All of these stones are going to come down. Is this going to be like a Jericho thing? Are we going to march around? What's going to happen here? How are these things going to be? And then they went on and they asked him a question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, that's a strange, strange question to ask. So, what makes that strange? Well, because these are the same guys who've not settled in themselves that he was going to actually die. They didn't believe that. Now they're talking about his return. What inspires this thinking? Well, because God leads us. Even when we don't know we're being led, he leads us to ask the right question so that we can receive the right answer. I pray today that every one of us will connect with this grace to ask the right questions, to inquire of God of those things that we need answers for. Even when it doesn't seem to be related, even when we don't know what we are asking, God, help us to ask the right question. They asked the right question, and now he's going to start talking. He's going to start saying things that he's not said to them before. But there was something that triggered it. They started out asking him one question, and in the process of asking that question, the Holy Spirit led them to ask the deeper question. Tell us, when shall these things be? You were talking about the temple that he was talking about. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? What, you know, the Passion says, and what supernatural sign should we expect to signal your coming, the completion of this age, the shift that's going to happen? Is it because in the mind of the Hebrew, when you talk about the end of the world, they're not always talking about the world ending. They're talking about, sometimes in their discourse, they're talking about the end of one season and the beginning of another. So when Messiah, because we know that, we know that from Matthew 16, thou the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. And you said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. And I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. And we know that when you're talking about building that church, we know that you're not talking about that temple over there, where all those guys come out and they're persecuting you all the time, where you said to us just in the previous chapter, there's going to come a time when people are going to come and they're going to try to kill you, and they're going to think they're doing God service. So when is this sign of this coming? When is it going to happen? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, that's a very striking statement. First thing he says is this: take heed, be careful that no man deceive you. Be careful that no man deceive you. The Passion says, at that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you are not fooled. That's the straight talk. Beware that you're not fooled. There's going to be all kinds of deceptive things. Don't get fooled. Take heed. Be careful now. Make sure you don't get deceived. It will interest you to know that when he talks about that deception, he addresses it in so many ways. Verse 5 says, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority, or saying about themselves, I am God's anointed, and they will lead many astray. Many shall come in my name. I am representing God. I am in the will of God. And they're going to say, I am anointed. I am the Christ. That word Christ is just simply means the anointed one, or the Messiah, Christus. They're going to say, I am the deliverer. I am the one who has the answer to your problem. I am the one who knows how you're feeling, what you're going through, and I have a solution for you. He says there are going to be many in those days. They're going to come, and they're going to be deceptive. They're going to be saying, I am Christ. He says, they are going to deceive many. They're going to deceive many. So that's why he says, take heed that you don't become part of the many that get deceived. He says, you will hear of wars. And rumors of wars. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that ye be not what? Troubled. First thing he says to us is, don't be deceived. And now he says, see to it that you don't get troubled. In other words, don't lose your peace because of the troubles that are coming into the world. That there are wars and there are rumors of wars. He says, don't be troubled. So what does that tell me? It tells me that he's saying to me and saying to you, saying to us, it has nothing to do with you. Amen? It has nothing to do with you. Don't get all wound up and concerned about it. It has nothing to do with you. The most recent war that we are fighting right now is the war against COVID-19. They say it's a war, it's a battle. These are war times. We're fighting against an invisible virus. He says, don't worry about it. Amen? Wars and rumors of wars. Don't worry about it. Don't trouble yourself about it. For all these things must come to pass. It's going to happen. But then he says, but the end is not yet. It was calling, oh, the end of the world, the end of the world. No, the end of the world is not yet. The end of the world is not yet. The end of your life may be here, but it's not the end of the world. Life will keep on going on. But see to it that you don't get all wound up and troubled. Get focused now. Stay focused. Know what you're about. Know who you're about. And don't get locked down by the deceptive ways of the enemy. He says, for nation shall rise against nation. And we can see that in our world today. Nation rising up against nation. That not necessarily in physical warfare, but in, you know, standing up against this nation. We have the U.S. standing up against China. We have China standing up against the U.S. And we have North Korea standing against the world, and on, different nations standing up and saying, I challenge you, I dare you. And everybody's quaking. Oh, is there going to be another war? Nuclear bomb? No. Oh. That says, forget about it. Don't have sleepless nights about it. It's going to happen. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. People are going to be going against each other, resisting each other, sabotaging each other, spying on each other, trying to sabotage each other, and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. It says, chill out. There's going to be so much of it. If you start worrying about it, you're going to worry yourself to death. Let's continue living. Stop it. You can stop this. The script is written. I can see it. This is what's going to happen. But you are not of this world. And you don't need to worry yourself about whatever it is that's happening in the world. Oh, care for the people. Preach the gospel. Do your thing. But don't be operating in the spirit of fear. And there shall be famines. There shall be famines. That's a very strong statement. There shall be famines, and there are going to be pestilences. In the last 10, 20 years, we've had all kinds of pestilences. We've had HIV, we've had the Ebola, we have MERS and SARS and Corona. all kinds of pestilences, plagues. It's all over the place. Earthquakes, oh my, have we ever had them? Now, there's always been earthquakes, but not the kind of earthquakes that we've been having. And it says earthquakes in diverse places, in strange places, places that have never experienced earthquakes. There's no reason for the earthquake. There's no scientific reason. It's not like some shifting of some plates, but earthquakes happened there. There's going to be earthquakes in all kinds of places, in diverse places. Earthquakes in the sea that become tsunamis and whatever else. It says all these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. Now, the idea is this. There's always been pestilences all through the age. There's been pestilences. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been wars. All you just need to do is look at the Old Testament and you will see the Assyrians and you'll see the Babylonians and you'll see, you know, the Egyptians. Everybody's fighting. The Philistines are always fighting with the Jews, the Israelites. There's always been wars. But when he talks about wars and rumors of wars, he's saying there's going to be just a deluge of all this kind of stuff. Every which way you turn, it's bad news. One bad news after the other. You turn on the television, oh, there's this battle happening over here, and this kingdom is fighting against that kingdom, and this one is resisting that one. Oh, yes, and that, oh, there's a disease over there that's killing all kinds of people. Oh, my. Now there's another one that is brewing for little babies. Little babies just dying from all kinds of strange virus. You can turn on the news and find good news. In fact, when they bring any kind of good news, they say something like, oh, we're so pleased, you know, to be able to share this good news with you. All week, no good news until now. This is the beginning of sorrows. There's going to be so many things happening. People are going to be in serious grief, pain. But the world is going to find a fault. Please hear this. When all these bad things are happening, the world is going to try to find somebody to blame. And who are they going to blame? Those religious jerks. Those fanatics. Those Bible thumpers. Those people that keep on reminding us that it's because of our sin we need to repent. It's their fault. It's their fault. That's why I'm feeling so bad. But I cannot live right because I keep on living the wrong way. And I cannot have any peace because somebody's preaching on television and on radio, on the internet, or wherever. They're always telling me about this God. If God is so good, why are these bad things happening to us? Don't tell me about that God. Says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They're going to come after you. But who are they going to really successfully come against? Those people who, in the midst of all the confusion that's happening, some way, somehow, have embraced fear more than embracing the word of God, the truth of God, in recognizing that God is their keeper. God is their protector. God is their refuge. He is a strong tower. Those who run into him shall find safety. The name of the Lord. Then shall they. Notice, then shall they, after they have been experiencing the proponents of all this battling and all this pestilences and all these wars and all of this foolishness that's going on, then shall they deliver you up. then shall they deliver you up. Who is the then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted? Let me tell you who it is not. It is not the world. The world doesn't deliver you up to be afflicted. It is your brother, the one who is rubbing shoulders with you in church, that's delivering you up to be afflicted. The one who doesn't want to believe that the word that you are speaking, when you are declaring that this thing that is happening is based on our unrighteous ways, our ungodly ways, practicing the activities of darkness. Guess what? When that temple was torn down, there was sacrilege taking place there also. The spirit of the Antichrist was moving. We're moving in that realm. The Lord says, you know, he's going to say that, you know, shortly. He says, you will be betrayed. Have you ever thought about it? Betrayal. It is not a stranger that betrays you. A stranger can never betray you. Somebody that you know. And so he's saying right there, they shall deliver you. Then shall they deliver you, because you are taking a stand. You're taking a stand and you're declaring, thus saith the Lord. Then shall they deliver you. They will deliver you up. They will give you up to be afflicted. You see it? They deliver you up to be afflicted. They expose you. They throw you to the wolves. And says, not only will they deliver you to be afflicted, he says, and shall kill you. And shall kill you. And then it says, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You're going to be hated of all nations. People everywhere will demonstrate their hatred of you for my name's sake. Passion puts it this way, you can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. That's why. Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. That's perfect translation. Now, what do you do about that? Go about suspecting your brother? No. The Lord says, love believeth all things. You don't allow the actions or the attitudes of people to define you or to mold you and cause you to do the wrong thing because you're living in fear. No, you do the right thing, period. No matter what the cost. You just do the right thing. Because your service is unto the Lord. first and foremost, and then to the people and to yourself. You've got to be true to yourself. If the word of God says, take heed that you be not deceived, it starts with you not allowing yourself to be deceived by yourself, living a lie to yourself. Forget about other people. If you've lied to yourself, then they don't need to bother. You've already lied to yourself. You're already in the back pocket of the enemy. But that's not a good place to be, because when the devil gets beaten by somebody who is standing for God, he falls down and sits on his back pocket and you are crushed. The whole weight of his failure lands on you. He says, because of all this silliness, this hatred, people who want to be loved not by God, but liked by men, I'm accepted in the gang. He says, they will start getting offended. They will get offended. The Greek word for that word, offended or offense, is a word that we know well. The Greek word is skandalizo. Skandalizo. Now, what is that? Just from the pronunciation of the word, you know what that word is. It's scandal. Then shall many be scandalized, or be bearers of scandals. In other words, there will be people who begin to spread bad news. Bad news spreaders, gossipers. They are offended and they are carrying their offense out. He says, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So in essence, they will come to a place where they don't trust each other. There's no trust. When is all of this happening? That is the next stage. Everybody's more concerned about rumors of wars. God says, then shall. When you see believers getting persecuted, people pointing fingers at each other, believers hating each other, fighting against each other, throwing each other out to the dogs, to the wolves, he says, you're getting closer. You're really getting closer. He says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. What are these false prophets? False prophets have a message that is not based on the truth of God. They're going to come and say whatever they need to say just to get a buck. They are not about the people. They're not there, you know, to declare the purposes of God. They're taking sides. I'm on this side. I'm on this side. But who is on God's side? Because the only one who is a true prophet of God is the one who is on God's side. A true prophet hears what God is saying and declares what God is saying. It doesn't matter whether you like it or don't like it. They say, this is thus saith the Lord. This is what God is saying. This is what the Lord is pointing at. False prophets, check which way is the wind blowing. You know, I'm going to say something that is friendly and, you know, tickle the ears of the people. You know, and the Lord talks about that through Paul. Preachers with itchy ears. And hearers with itchy ears. And the idea is finding out from the people, what kind of message do you guys like to hear? What is the culture wanting us to talk about? It's not what the culture wants you to talk about. It's what God wants to talk about. What does God want to say? What does God want to say to his church today? It's not... Listen, I talk about COVID-19 and all of that, but that I could care less about that. Not that that's unimportant. There's a greater message. There are greater issues. I am not going to be distracted by circumstance and allow the circumstance to determine what I do and how I do it. No, you set your face like a flint and you go to where you're supposed to go to accomplish your assignment. Everybody has their assignment. There might be a man of God whose assignment is to just preach about marriages. That's not my assignment. So if you want to hear about marriages, buy the CD. Hello? That's not my assignment. I'm not going to come here every day and talk about marriages. I'm not going to come here and talk every day about how to make your first million. That's not my assignment. If I start doing that, I become a false prophet. You do what God calls you to do. You say what God has called you to say. And you stay on your track. Don't jump your track and get into somebody else's track and cause a train wreck. No, you stay on your track. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying a false prophet is a prophet that is not hearing from God about what God says for him to say. That's a false prophet. You're giving the wrong message. You are lying. The rumors of war and the pestilence to become the main core of your message. So the devil now will bring you all kinds of messages and you start talking about everything that is going on. And when do you spend time talking about Jesus? And about his saving grace. And about how you can defeat the enemy and walk uprightly before God. When are you going to talk about that when you've spent all day talking about the drug addiction problem? No, that's another person's assignment. And that person should rise up and begin to address drug addiction problems. And he's a true prophet because he's declaring what God told him to declare. I cannot be all of that. I can only be what God said I should be. And if we stay on our track to do what God calls us to do, the church will be so powerful and unstoppable force. Because we're not distracted by the circumstances that are going around. So he says, take heed that you not be deceived. Make sure that you don't get yourself all wound up and troubled. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The second aspect about false prophets is not only that they have not heard from God to declare what God is saying. They are focused on whatever the felt needs of the people are and trying to address that and bringing solutions that are outside of God. Many get deceived. And when they are deceived, they are troubled. Because the food that they need to eat is not what they are eating. They are traumatized. I don't need to go to church to get traumatized. I need to go to find out the solution to whatever it is that may want to traumatize me in my life. And be at peace, recognizing that I am under the canopy of God's covering. Amen? A false prophet brings his own message, not the message of the Lord. I think it was last Sunday, or maybe two Sundays back, one of the Sundays, I had been talking to the Lord about what I'm supposed to bring to the saints. I think it was Sunday night. And I wasn't hearing anything from the Lord. And I set my mind to come to the service and say, you know, today the Lord hasn't told me to preach anything. He didn't give me a word. So let's just keep on praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd rather do that than come and start preaching something when the Lord has not given me a message. Because the message that I preach must be connected to what God is saying right now. No sooner did I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go there and tell them I don't have anything to say. The Lord says, today you're going to preach the most important message that you've preached. And I came here and I just said exactly what God wanted me to say. I don't think it even lasted 30 minutes. You know, I looked at the time, you know, I was done in less than 30 minutes. We were finished in less than an hour. Praise and worship, prayer time, everything. But it was that's the message the Lord wanted me to preach. I'd heard what God wanted to say. And when he finished saying what he wanted to say, that was it. Period. Finito. Let's go home. That's it. To come here and start saying something when God is not saying it, that is being a false prophet. Do you understand? False prophecy is not just saying something and then it did not happen. Because if that's the case, there are a lot of people that are false prophets that have said things and it happened just like they said it was going to happen. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are people who don't know God that have prophesied. And what they said happened. But that does not make them true prophets. What makes you a true prophet is that you said what God said to say. That you're on God's side, saying what God is saying. And then, having said that, what you say comes to pass. Now, true prophets prophesied, and what they prophesied did not happen in their lifetime. They lived their whole life and died, and what they said did not happen. And it happened sometime down the line. You go through the Bible. Moses prophesied about the Lord. David prophesied about the Lord. All these guys prophesied, you know, in the volume of the book, Jesus said. In the volume of the book, all of these scriptures, they're talking about me. Why they're talking about him? Because those guys were prophesying about him. But for thousands of years, he was not there. Jeremiah prophesied. Jeremiah lived and died. There was no Jesus. Is somebody listening? But is he a true prophet of God? Absolutely. Why is he a true prophet of God? He's a true prophet of God because he's saying what God said. Not what he thinks. What you think is going to cause many to be deceived. We're not about what I think, what I deduce. We're talking about what is God saying? That, child of God, indeed is the bottom line. What does all of this mean for us today? It is for us to pray. If I don't want to be deceived, then I need to pray for the prophets that prophesy or speak into my life, because the Word of God says, love believeth all things. So how am I going to sit down there and the person says so and so? This is what the Lord is saying. Who am I to doubt it? So my prayer then, one of the most important prayers you can pray for yourself is, God, don't let me be connected to a false prophet, somebody who is not speaking the language of God. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. If the life you're living is not lining up with how you carry yourself concerning the things of God, I don't care how silver-tongued you are and how well-dressed you are and how sharp you are, how amazing you are, and how, you know, you can put your syntaxes together and everything together and make things sound so nice and understandable. I don't need to listen to this. Because when I look at it, what you're saying and your demonstration of faithfulness in the things of God don't line up. God is looking for faithful people. I don't see faithfulness here, so thank you, but no thanks. Faithfulness is demonstrated by how committed you are to the truth of God and not wavering this way, that way, this way, that way, this way, that way. I need to know where true north is. How consistent are you concerning what you're talking about? Because that's going to determine whether you are a true prophet or a false prophet. Let me wrap up with this. You know, this may not mean much to somebody that may be listening in the U.S. or somewhere in Europe or Africa or whatever. But for those that are listening here in Canada especially, let me say to you, if you are a church or a minister of the gospel, I know there's some free money floating around. You can get $40,000. You can use it for your church, and then you can pay back $30,000, and you get $10,000 for grant. Good money, $10,000. Oh, wow. Shoot. Be forewarned. Don't get hooked. That is not your source. Government free money. That's not your source. Get hooked. One day that government is going to come and ask you, Have you been preaching against sexual immorality? Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. But you signed here that you are not going to, like they say, hate speech. Because what you are preaching, the world is going to call hate speech. And that $10,000 is going, you know what? You might end up not being able to pay that $30,000. Because if God blows on that, your church that you're trying to save with your $30,000, $40,000, whatever, you will sweat to try to find $1 to pay that bill. Don't sell your soul. Because right in the document, I had to go at my bank and say, the Lord already told me not to get myself involved with this mess. As soon as I heard, I said, no, that's of the devil. I said, send me the document on this. He sent me the link and I'm reading. Okay, good. And I saw the last one. Oh, yeah. This is it. Be careful. Don't swallow everything. You know, when people go fishing, they put a worm, and the worm is going like this. The fish comes there and says, I got some good food here to eat. And you go up. Before you know it, you start fighting. Fight all you want. They're reeling you in. And it will give you. You will end up in that boat, pow, dead. As a warning, hear the Lord. Want to do it? Know that you're doing it with your eyes wide open. Be careful what you bite. Your faith and your trust is in the Lord. There's a way that God has elected to provide for his church. He does it supernaturally through his supernatural people. Saints, support the church God has called you to. During this time, you're not in church and whatever else. Stay faithful. Honor God with the means that he has elected to use to fund his work. Honor God with your tithes, with your offerings, with your vows, with your commitments. Do that fervently, faithfully. Do that. Let the needs in his house be met. Let there be food in his house. Don't let that man or woman of God to be tempted beyond that which he's able to bear. God has set you apart to be part of the way of escape so that he can boldly do what he's called to do, so that he doesn't become a false prophet. The greatest prayer you can pray is, God, help me not to be connected to false prophets or my ears open to false prophets. People get deceived by false prophets because they are so good at what they are doing, you cannot tell. You cannot tell that they're false. A false prophet doesn't come, you know, with a big sign on his chest. False prophet. Doesn't happen. But you can know who is on the Lord's side. Who is speaking what the word of God says without fear, without shame? There's clarity and he's boldly declaring what God says. Support that person. Stand with that person. That one that is standing true. The chances are that person is standing for righteousness. That's a prophet that you need to listen to. If a person is going this way, that way, one day is east, one day is west, one day is north, one day is south, you got your clue. He's a chameleon. is a reptile. Rise with me, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for grace. We are thankful for your mercies. We're thankful, God, for your goodness revealed to us. Lord, oh God, we are living in times that are rather strange. Strange in the sense that we're coming to that state where people are doing what they need not do. There's stress here and there. But today, oh God, we pray, oh God, for the strengthening of our inner man, the core of our being, that we are secure in our relationship with you, and we are fervent in faith, continuing in righteousness, declaring your kingdom has come, your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, oh God, having no fear of man, taking heed, oh God, that we not be deceived, and making certain, oh God, that we are not troubled by the noise that is happening around the world. Father, we rest ourselves in your peace. You were in the boat that was filled with water because the storm was raging. There you were, asleep, unworried, unperturbed, because you'd already spoken, let's go on to the other side. And you expected to be nowhere else but on the other side. The disciples were disturbed by all that was happening. They tried in their own strength and their own ability to resolve the situation, found themselves in a losing battle. They came to you and they said, "Don't you care?" Of course you cared. You came from that bottom part of that boat and you rebuked the winds and you spoke peace and the waters were calmed. Lord, may we as your people not be frazzled and harassed by circumstances and allow circumstances to determine what we do. But Lord, oh God, may we, because of the presence of your grace in our lives, go to the root of the matter and address situations at the roots. So, Lord God Almighty, that the things that we need to deal with afterwards may be addressed accordingly. So today we declare in Jesus' name, you storm, you wind, be rebuked. You are rebuked. And we speak to the waters, peace. Thank you, Lord, O God, that all things are well with us. Satanic agendas are crushed and brought to naught. And we walk in love, in faith, and not by sight. Blessed be your holy name. Let love reign this day and always. I say to your people, be healed, be restored, be made whole, be established in your walk of faith. The grace of God sufficient, let it carry you now. Be at peace and be resolute in your walk of faith. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, I declare and decree it so now done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.